Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to Psalm 25 and verse 10. Psalm 25 and verse 10. Psalm 25, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, being reminded again that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, once again, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us, to guide us, Lord, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you, to one another, and empowered, Lord, to be the witnesses of your great grace and mercy that you've given to us. Bless your word, bless your people, bless Northwood Baptist Church in particular, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth." Amen, isn't that good? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And so you've got to be in the path to receive the mercy of God and the truth of God. And so this really marks those who profess a walk that they have that's in the way of the Lord. We're not just mere professors. Our text says, "Unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony." So there is a requirement there. But please understand this. The requirement is all on the Lord. And in this regard, he will perform that which he's promised to do. So if we'll seek him, he'll guide us into his paths, and he leads us into his paths of righteousness for his namesake, honor and glory, and for our blessing. So there's no blessing in just hearing the word only. Let it go in one side, not the other side. And, oh, that was good. The difference is when we apply the word, or when we allow the Lord to enable us to be doers of the word, because this requires more than just a mere profession. It requires a personal pursuit, right? When you pursue something, you have a mission in mind, right? You're looking for a specific objective. Some people have a mission to learn a specific trade or an occupation, or maybe even a musical instrument, or maybe even make a garden. Now, if I said, "Boy, oh boy, listen, I've got a garden to show you, and I brought you over, and it was all a bunch of weeds," would that impress you? You'd say, "Man, you're a lousy gardener." You may not say it, but you might think it. "But, well, hey, I wasted my time coming over here to see this one." Well, listen, God is a faithful husbandman of his people. Amen? Amen. And he is faithful to perform everything that he has promised to do. So I want you to consider this idea of seeking the Lord and experiencing the paths of his mercy and truth that he wants to guide us into. And I want you to realize that seeking God involves two requirements that will bring two blessings in our text here tonight. So those are the two main thoughts here. And in the second thought, the two blessings, I might leave verses 16 through 22 as a homework assignment. We'll just see how time goes. But the first thought is two requirements, and that is verses 1 through 11. That's a personal involvement. And then in the first point there, the second sub point is not only a personal involvement, but a personal humility is involved if we're going to understand the mercy and the truth of God. And then the two blessings are this. The first one is a personal revelation God wants to give to every believer. And then the second part of the second point is a personal confidence of God's faithful deliverance to every believer that seeks him in these things. So these are powerful truths that the believer can enjoy and rejoice in and glorify the Lord. And so let's consider the first thought. Back up to verse 1 with me. And these are the two requirements. And this is a personal involvement. Look at verse 1. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Now why would David want to lift up his soul towards God Almighty? Had David experienced a personal involvement with the Lord, with the giant Goliath? Did he experience the faithfulness of God? Did he have a personal involvement with the Lord many other times as well? So this personal involvement gives us an experience that we can testify to the Lord's goodness. But we have to get involved, right? I'll never forget this. And
You may have experienced this sometime in life. I was maybe in my early 30s, and I was teaching school in the early 90s, and I was working summers. They didn't pay us over the summer at the Christian school where I taught at, so I got construction jobs in St. Louis, and we were putting in underground cable, right? And that's hot work. Okay, it's not a picnic there, and anyway, it was hot. It was one of these summers that it was just a scorcher, and anyway, we had these little crews, and there was three of us, and one guy, he was doing some trenching, and we had to do some hand digging over here, and this young fella, I don't know how old he was, maybe early 20s, mid 20s at the latest, and anyway, he was just sitting there holding the shovel. And I'm digging, you know, I'm trying to get the job done, right? And I said, hey, I said, there's plenty of room over here. You want to come help? And he said, nope. He said, no, I'm not interested. He said, this is what he said. I get paid the same amount whether I work hard or not. That's what he told me. Now, I would dare say that he had no personal involvement in the job we were doing. And he didn't even have an interest of any personal involvement. How do you think, I never said a word, I didn't think it was my place to say it, the other fellow that I was with saw what he was doing, and he was the head over our little crew, and here's the thing, how do you think his boss would feel about his attitude? See, we're not just to hold up the shovel. God wants us to get involved for the glory of the Lord so that we can experience the benefits. You know what, listen, when you work hard, a good boss will appreciate that. And it'll go a long way in keeping your job in the first place and probably getting promotions along the way as well. So David had some experiences with God's goodness because he got involved. And so likewise, look, verse 2, it says, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. So he's got a personal concern here. He's saying, you know what, Lord? Where's David looking to not shame the Lord or in front of the enemies of God? Who is he looking to for help? He's looking to the Lord. He could look to his circumstance. He could look to his inabilities. He could look to his failures. That gets us nowhere. See, God wants us to keep our eyes on him because he's the doer of every good thing in our lives to the glory of God. So verse 3, he says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. And that doesn't mean just sitting around. That means trusting the Lord and seeking him to fulfill those things as we wait on him. Lord, I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. You know, it's a good thing to labor in prayer. And again, I mentioned some time ago, it's good to pray in the car. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's better than most of the stuff that's on the radio. Even I would say it's good just to clear your mind and just talk to the Lord and ask him for guidance and wisdom. But it's really important that I would dare say that we get up early and seek the Lord in prayer and say, God, I want you to have your way and your will in my life. Lord, I want to experience your grace and your mercy and your direction. I don't want to just, listen, the will of God is not this. Oh, I think I'd like to do that. Lord, bless that. Okay, I'm going. That's not the will of God. Lord, oh, I think I would like to do, oh, Lord, I think I would like to, oh, bless this and bless that, and I'll just do this and I'll just do that. That is not the will of God. You know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit came unto the church and said, hey, separate me, Paul and I can't remember who it was. Was it Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas? I'm calling them to a work. I'm calling them to do something for me. And they were already in the midst of doing something, and they were praying and they were seeking, and the Lord reveals his truth to them, right? And to the church. And so it's important for us to have a personal prayer life in our own home somewhere. And listen, if we're neglecting that, we are not honoring the Lord. And that's important. You'll find many examples in the scriptures that we should get up early. And I'm not going to tell you, pray for this amount of time. It's just that we set a time aside. Let the Lord build it. But let's just give him 5 minutes alone with him somewhere. Amen. Before the day gets started. You know how the days go. A little here, a little there, a little this and a little that, and the day's gone, right? Lord, let me give you the first part of my day, even if it's just for 5 minutes. Lord, that I might just call upon you to guide me. And he says, you know what? I've never been ashamed. I've never been without. Verse 4, he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Did you see what he's saying? I think I'd like to. Lord, bless that. And I'm going over there and I'm going to go do that. No, listen to what he's saying. Show me whose ways? The Lord's way. Let me see your way. You know what David understood? The heart can mislead us. Amen. I would like to do this. I would like to do that. And that's not God's way. Oh, Lord, teach me thy paths. Look at verse 5. He says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And that doesn't mean I'm sitting there in a chair waiting all the day. That means as I'm walking through life, I'm looking to you for my direction. Listen, one thing is for sure. If you're saved, you understand that gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit come from the Lord. And so may we be saying, Lord, fulfill that in me. Let me acknowledge your authority over me. And let me acknowledge that your way is the right way and that my way has no place if I'm going to walk in your way. Listen, my way has no place if I'm going to walk in God's way. And so what we need to do is we need to say, okay, Lord, you have supreme authority in my life. Okay, that means he says, call on me. So we better start calling on him, amen? That means we better find some time to call on him. Oh, yeah, he's the Lord of my life, and we don't call on him. Oh, yeah, he's the Lord of my life, and when's the last time we get into the Word of God? Do we allow other things? Yeah, he's the Lord of my life, and I'm not kind, and I'm not gentle, and I'm not experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. The believer ought to be able to say, there's a problem. That is not the path of God. And so I need to be able to say, I've got a problem, Lord, that I want you to fix. I don't want to follow my way. My way is not peace. My way is not honoring to the Lord. But God says, I'll lead you in whose way? In his way. So that's the first requirement, and that is a personal involvement. The second one is a personal humility. These are both equally as important. We have to be personally involved, and then we have to have a personal humility. Look at verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, plural, for they have been ever of old. They've been forever, and they never stop, and they've been from the very beginning of, for sure, our existence. I was going to say, there's no beginning to God, right? So they've just always been, and that's kind of mind-boggling. Look at verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth. Praise God. Put those behind me, Lord. Amen. And that, by the way, we need to acknowledge that they're sins, right? We don't want to rejoice. We don't want to brag about anything that God says is a sin, right? And so he says, remember not the sins, plural, of my youth, nor my transgressions, plural, according to thy mercy, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners, I'm one, in the way. In whose way? His way, God's way. The meek, here's humility, personal humility. The meek will he guide in judgment. Who's he going to guide in judgment? That means that we don't hold ourselves up higher or lower, or it could go both ways, right? We look at everybody as we are. We don't put anybody up on a pedestal. You've heard the old saying, they get dressed the same way we do, right? And we don't put anybody beneath us either. Even if they're in a different station, they're people for whom God died, but they are people who he created as well, right? So we want to be meek. And then he says this, again, verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord, listen to this, are mercy and truth. So if we don't have mercy or truth in what we're doing or saying, we are not in God's path. Mercy being key. Unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Remember what the Lord said? If you keep my commandments, you love me. Now, I will tell you this, just to clarify, God is not asking us to keep his commandments in our strength. That's not what he's doing. We can't do that. what we need to do is realize if we're not keeping God's commandments, we come before the Lord and say, Lord, I am not keeping your commandments. And because I'm not keeping your commandments, oh God, you tell me I don't love you. And I want to love you. I want to love you. And so, Lord, show me how to keep your commandments. Because God doesn't ask us to do anything that's impossible. Is that really our God? I'm going to give you this list to do, and you can't do it. That's not our God. God is gracious. God is kind and loving and patient. And he's wanting us to say, listen, Lord, this is not working out in my life. And so I'm calling upon you, and I'm knocking on your door. How long? How long am I going to knock on God's door to help me with the commandments? Until he answers. Because he's promised to answer. So if he's promised to answer, we ought to be there until he does. And that reveals faith in our lives. So he says, listen to this. Look at verse 10 again. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Listen to this. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Listen, what man is he that feareth the Lord? In other words, listen, I have a respect for the Lord because he said, keep my commandments if you love me. And I better not say I love the Lord and I'm breaking his commandments. Because I fear the Lord. I want to respect I want to have reverence for the Lord. But I will come to the Lord and say, I've got a problem, Lord. I want you to fix this because I do love you and I want to love you the way you are going to enable me to love you by keeping your commandments. So, you know, listen, when the Lord said, you're going to deny me 3 times, he said, I'm ready to die for you. And did he deny the Lord? He did, didn't he? He denied the Lord. Now, here's the thing. Listen, did Peter love the Lord? Yeah, he did. He did. But he did not love him the way God wanted him to love him. Finally, he wept bitterly. Did he learn a lesson? What did he learn? God was right. I'm wrong. God was right. I'm wrong. God is right. I'm wrong. So if I'm going to be right, who do I need? God. And if I'm wrong, what's going on? God's not in the picture. So see, our battle is not with our persistent dedication to do the right thing. Our purpose is to call upon him who is the doer of all good things. That's the whole thing. Did Peter misunderstand? Was Peter really honoring the Lord the way the Lord wanted him to honor him? No. It wasn't until the Lord got a hold of him. And by the way, how did the Lord get a hold of him? He just waited for Peter to come to the end of himself. And then he said, tell Peter, I've not forgotten about him. Tell him to come also. Amen? And then he sat down and fed them, right? The Lord did, and after they were fishing, and then he kept telling Peter, do you love me? 3 times, right? A lot of people believe, and it seems to be so, because he denied him 3 times. But he would say, Lord, do you love me? And Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep what? The truth. Because faith cometh by the truth, amen? By hearing and trusting in what God is saying and not leaning to our own understanding that God might have his will and his way in our lives. So here are the two blessings. And that first thing is a personal revelation, right? So this is a personal revelation. Notice again verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that, notice, that he shall choose. Who's choosing? God. Do you think David had any kind of an understanding of this personal revelation? Do you think David ever experienced God telling him to do something and then him doing it and God bringing it to pass? He did, didn't he? Did God anoint him to be the next king? Amen. And that kept him going for a long time. In fact, you remember he dealt with Saul twice. And he could have done away with Saul. But he really gave in at the end, but God was still faithful. God was still faithful to David. Isn't that amazing? God is faithful to you and me as well. All right, ready? So verse 13, his soul shall dwell at ease and his seed shall inherit the earth. Listen, when the Lord is in the midst of everything, remember at Ziklag when the Amalekites took everything and burned it with fire, and they all wept until they had no more power to weep, and then finally they found this Egyptian, and they asked him what was going on, and the Lord, he asked somewhere along the lines, he asked the Lord, "Lord, shall we overtake them? And you give us the victory," in so many words. And he said, "You're going to overtake them. And you're going to recover everything." Was God true to his promise? Yeah. Listen, God is true to his promise if we'll seek him for his word. Not, "Well, Lord, I can't do..." We got to get self out of the picture. That's only a hindrance. So again, he says, verse 13, "His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him," respect him, "and he will show them his covenant." Verse 15, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord," listen to this, "for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Now that's a personal revelation that God, how many times did God save David? More than once. Can Joseph say that God's good and merciful? Joseph, remember, with his other brothers that sold him out to Egypt? Of course. And then I'm going to give you this homework assignment. Verses 16 through 22 is a personal confidence of God's faithful deliverance. This is the progression here. Two requirements: a personal involvement, you got to get involved; a personal humility, you got to realize you need the Lord. And you need his forgiveness. And God does not want our righteousness. He wants to give us his. And then two blessings. That's God's personal revelation that encourages us to walk by faith and to be faithful to him. How do we know if we're not receiving the personal revelation? We have no faithfulness. We have no faithfulness. And then the last part, this is a homework assignment, verses 16 through 22. A personal confidence of God's faithful deliverance. And I'm going to encourage you to just maybe go back through that psalm, but especially verses 16 through 22. And these are the things that God wants to give to all of his children, all of them. He doesn't say, "Oh, well, this is the Apostle Paul and this is David. They're special." Well, they are. But why are they special? Because of who their God is. The same reason why you and I are special. God has a personal interest in guiding us in whose paths? His, not ours. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word, the reminder that it brings to our hearts and minds of your great faithfulness, Lord, your great mercy, and your great truths. Lord, you've commanded and promised to enable us to walk in them and to experience you in a great and mighty way, in a life-changing way. May we not look to ourselves, but may we call upon you who doeth all things well. Bless, Lord, Northwood Baptist Church, all your churches, but especially this church here tonight, and in all of your people, Lord. And as we break off for prayer, Lord, may you be honored and glorified. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.